You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey here with Chris Ballas and Anthony Broom. Of course, we're all from the Wolverine.com, where you can go over there for $1. You get an entire year of premium content, just one, just a singular dollar. You can hit up AB and he will pay for that first year. I don't know if he agrees to that, but there you go. I guess thumbs up. So go and do that right now at the Wolverine.com. We are also brought to you by MeatLeet. Michigan fans, let's support Roman Wilson and book him on the MeatLeet app. When you book Roman, you'll get the opportunity to have a one-on-one FaceTime where you can ask him about beating Ohio State, including getting his helmet ripped off by Ohio State defensive back, having a nice catch along the sideline. Just his time at Michigan, you can wish him well as the Wolverines are trying to win a national championship here at the end of the season, Big Ten championship this weekend. And my favorite part about this, a portion of every call will benefit Michigan's Children's Hospital. So don't forget to use the promo code Roman to get 25% off. Caps do not matter. So R-O-M-A-N. Go to meatleet.co/Michigan, meatleet.co/Michigan. You can also find it in the description of this podcast. Man, I'll tell you guys about the NIL stuff. A lot of these guys giving back to charity, which has been awesome to see. Go and do that right now. But fellas, Chris, you said it yesterday, last week on the podcast. I think your exact words were, I hear Indy is nice this time of year. It's December and all that. We are going to get to experience it, after Michigan with just an unbelievable performance against Ohio State, really dominating the game, 42-27 last week. The job that this staff and these players have done to come together and turn this thing around and really check all the boxes, all the concerns last year coming off that season. They've done just about everything to this point. You still have more to go, but to this point, just about everything. You couldn't really ask for more.
St. Elmo's, here we come, right, AB? And Jumbo Cocktail Shrimp, man, we've got it booked. So stoked. Been down there for many basketball events, not the big one here. And frankly, it's long overdue, boys, let's be honest. And Jim Harbaugh's been close. 2016, probably should have been there with a better whistle, with some better breaks. 2018, not close. Didn't go in with a very good game plan defensively. And now that in hindsight, guys, I'm thinking, man, if you'd had a game plan like Mike McDonald's in that game, could you, would you have won that game? It's interesting to think about, but let's not look backwards. Let's look to the now and going forward. What a job these guys have done. Never would have guessed that this team, somebody asked me, when's the next time you think it's possible? But for the season, I said 2023, when J.J. McCarthy's a junior and Cade McNamara's the guy to do it. I couldn't be happier for that kid. Okay. The maligned quarterback who, people are saying it's not good enough, not big enough, has the weenie arm type of thing. They used to say that about Tom Brady, by the way. And no, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but what a job they've done. And we'll have some Inside the Fort stuff tomorrow, guys, in an article about how it came together in the offseason. I got some fascinating stuff from some insiders that talked about that. But credit to them. Now the big key here, guys, don't overlook Iowa. This is a team that can punch you in the mouth and catch you off guard if you're not prepared for them. I don't think they have enough offensive firepower, but if you're not ready to play, they can certainly give you a game.
Yeah, this is the type of team where, you fumble here, you they force a three and out there. All of a sudden you look up, 45 minutes has gone by and it's halftime already and you're down 10-0. So have to be on high alert for that. I will look back for a bit because this is a crazy week. This has been a crazy week. It's the idea that you could just turn the page from the Ohio State game and go, poof, poof, it's in the past now. There's a Big Ten championship now. What? Like, everyone wants to revel in that one still, and rightfully so. I mean, it was, like you said, Chris, long overdue. The way that I put it when Ryan Van Bergen and I did the post-game show on Saturday is that, like, a lot of times after a game like that, a fan base is like charged up, you're fired up, you're ready to go. But I think that the feeling that I felt from a lot of people was, it was like getting off of a roller coaster, like the exhilaration, the ride was fun, but the ride's over and you're just like processing it all. I think you saw that pour out onto the field on Saturday, just pure emotion, pure celebration. The first time anyone stormed the field there in 10 years. But there's bigger fish to fry now, which is, wow, what a sentence to say. I mean, over under on this team coming into the year was 7.5. I felt pretty good that they would bust through that. 8-9 wins, right? But a couple breaks have gone their way. Some big, big time wins on the road. And they played their best football when the moment called for it. And that's something we haven't seen from this team. And it just takes one. Maybe this is a turning point. I don't think this is just a storybook season. I think there is some staying power here, but you got to close it out on Saturday with a win over Iowa now.
Yeah, and that's the key. And Cade McNamara said the same thing. This needs to be the beginning. And Jim Harbaugh said the same thing. It's not about beating Ohio State once. It's about competing with them every year and competing for championships every year at Michigan like we're used to. And they're getting there. So I think this is a great start. There's good young talent on this team, guys. It's been fun, Clay. And we're just the beginning, baby. Three to go, right?
You're right. And I think that comment too, Jim Harbaugh saying it feels like the beginning. And he didn't elaborate, which he doesn't like too much, especially on things when he has a little more meaning to it. He lets us kind of interpret it. And the way I thought about that was not only this season, yeah, like we're moving on to bigger and better things this year with the Big Ten Championship, potential college football playoff. But it did feel like he kind of meant, you know, this is the beginning of potentially not only in that rivalry flipping things like they did on Saturday, but hey, the monkey's off our back. We're no longer the team that can't do this or can't do that. I hate the word can't because you can't until you do, and then now they can. So, I mean, they always could. They just didn't, and here we are. You guys mentioned Iowa, though. I think they do have enough offensive firepower, and I'll tell you this. They don't have a lot of firepower, but this is a team that has won 10 games. As Jim Harbaugh said on Monday, they've been ranked number 2 in the country. They've been fortunate at times, like, you know, being able to come back against Nebraska there or whatever. But I think that, and it doesn't really matter with the fan base. We always say we can overlook teams and we can think this. But, like, you have to understand and go into this game with realistic expectations that Michigan almost lost at Nebraska. Michigan almost lost at Penn State. Like, Iowa is right there, you know, with those teams, I guess you would say, you know, especially Penn State. And, you know, anything can happen in this game. I don't think this Michigan team is going to overlook them. Desmond Howard was on SportsCenter yesterday talking about how he's not worried about a letdown because it's not a regular season game where you just go into the next week. This is now the Big Ten Championship. And as Josh Ross said on Monday, they haven't won that since 2004, and they're fully aware of what's at stake here. So I don't expect any sort of letdown or anything like that, but I just want to remind people that Iowa's a good enough team. Michigan's almost lost to worse teams. I think they may have clicked into gear. I think I'm going to predict a big Michigan victory, but just got to be mindful of that.
Chris Hutchinson said yesterday, we had him on the podcast, and Hutch, that's Chris Hutchinson, Aiden's dad, said Aiden was right back to watching film on Monday of Iowa, and he said, okay, it's over. You know, moment's over. Let's go and see what's going on here with the Hawkeyes, and they got his attention with how hard they play, guys. That's you know, there's that old adage, you know, washing machine works hard too. I think that was Art Clark Griswold's father-in-law who said that. But you know what? These guys, when they play hard and they play together, they play well. I really have a lot of respect for Kirk Ferentz's program and how hard they play and how well they play and what he's accomplished there in his career. And that's why you never take these guys for granted, ever. We saw what they did to Ohio State a few years ago. They don't have the offensive firepower to do that to Michigan, but you know what things, what interests me, guys, are they going to line it up and try something that most teams haven't done this year, bring in an extra tight end and run it right at them and try to shorten the game. And, you know, I thought Ohio State came out in the second half and said, okay, well, you know, maybe we better see if we can do some things on the ground. They couldn't. But when you got a team like Iowa that might try to sustain that, bring a couple of those tight ends in and see if they can just move them back off the line of scrimmage, that's going to be, to me, what they do. Maybe mix a little play action in there because they know that they can't contend with these defensive ends with those tackles they have. And then play to their strength, which is their defense. Now, they've led the nation with 22 interceptions. Michigan has not been risky with its passing game, so I don't expect that's going to happen, guys, that they're going to be flinging the ball all over the place and Iowa's going to pick them off. But there is a path, people, don't fool yourselves, for Iowa to win this football game if Michigan doesn't play well. So I'll be very interested to see how they come out, what kind of energy they have on Saturday night, guys. It's going to be a late one, but late nights at the office this time of year aren't bad at all.
Yeah, the thing with Iowa, too, is, you know, to piggyback off what you said about the game plan and what they'll probably do, I mean, it is a smash-mouth team. I like to call them a diet Wisconsin, but they're, you know, they're probably more Wisconsin than Wisconsin is these days, given the last couple of years. Tyler Linderblom is probably their Iowa center, is probably the best pure football player that Michigan has played against all year, especially in the trenches. And that's where a guy like Mazi Smith, you know, he played an awesome game against Ohio State, but he's going to have the kitchen sink thrown at him. And if I was able to kind of run the ball up the middle and take some time off the clock and shorten the game, like you said, it wouldn't surprise me to see this team in a game like they were at Penn State. So I also don't think that both of you guys have said this. I don't think it's in the DNA of this team to overlook anyone. You know, we just haven't really, there hasn't really been a purely bad half of football since that Rutgers game. And even then they had the mental wherewithal to get back on the horse, make plays and go win the football game. So I just feel like, you know, this team, this started, what we're seeing right now didn't start on Saturday. It didn't start in September. It started in January. These guys have been prepping for this moment and I think they'll be ready for it. So I was going to throw a lot at him. It's going to be a rock fight. It will probably be an affront to the sport of football as we know it in the year 2021, especially when it comes to the forward pass. But it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And Big Ten rock fights, I think Michigan can hold up in a game like that.
Hey, Michigan fans, I'm here with Rob Connolly, the CEO of MeatLeet, which is an incredible way for athletes to connect with fans. They can chat with them, FaceTime with them. Including some Michigan athletes here. We'll talk about Roman Wilson, who is on there and doing a great job with this NIL deal for him. But Rob, welcome to the show. And just give us a little bit of basic information about MeatLeet, because it's a fascinating and pretty cool opportunity for fans to connect with people that, you know, they wouldn't otherwise be able to connect with.
Clayton, thanks so much for having us. So yeah, MeatLeet's a platform that gives fans the opportunity to actually meet and have a conversation with some of their favorite athletes. And it's just an incredible opportunity, you know, for Michigan fans to have a conversation with Roman Wilson and ask, you know, what was it like, you know, beating Ohio State and getting that monkey off your back or getting that helmet ripped off of you in the end zone? You know, what was that all about? It gives that the fans that really interesting perspective of talking to the athlete that played in the game and having this conversation. So it's really an incredible experience that we're able to provide fans.
No doubt. So speaking of Roman Wilson, fans can go to meetleet.co/Michigan. So meetleet.co/Michigan. And they're able to download the app from there. You can support Roman Wilson and having a unique one-on-one FaceTime where you can ask him about that. Yeah, the crazy play of him getting his helmet ripped off afterwards. His nice catch, 31-yarder along the sideline there, and be able to interact with him. So you get 25% off if you use the promo code Roman. And, you know, fan engagement platform designed to provide fans the opportunity to actually meet their favorite athletes, as you mentioned. 4 to 5 minutes of conversation. So it's not just like 30 seconds, one question. You get to actually have a conversation, share some special memories with him, you know, and then he can obviously give his insight on what, you know, is going on exactly behind the scenes there from his point of view. And Roman's not the only Michigan athlete that you guys are partnered with, right? Tell us more about the other athletes you have involved.
Yeah, we have quite a few. We're getting more every day, but we have a Keyshawn Harris, the cornerback, Dan Villari, the quarterback, scout team, I believe. And Sierra Brooks, who's the national championship gymnast at Michigan, who's got an incredible story. She's just an incredible person. We have just amazing athletes, and it's just a really awesome experience for fans.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. We will talk more about it in the rest of the podcast here with the other guys. But, Rob, I appreciate it. Anything else you want to add before we go?
Just so you know, a portion of every call helps a charity of the athlete's choice. So, for example, in Roman's case, he's helping the Michigan's Children's Hospital. So it's helping a great cause.
No doubt. So go and do that. Support Roman. Support the Michigan Children's Hospital as well. And you know, be able to interact with your favorite Michigan athlete. So go and do that right now at meetleet.co/Michigan. The promo code Roman gets you 25% off right now. So go and do that. And, Rob, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Clayton. Go Blue!
Hey Michigan fans, it's me, Roman Wilson, and I'm meeting my biggest fans on MeatLeet. It's an amazing app that allows me to connect and FaceTime with my fans. You can download the app now on the Apple Play Store, or you can go to www.meetleet.co bet.te.co/Michigan. Go Blue.
Man ball. Clay, I know you love it.
It can't win a championship. It cannot beat Ohio State. Cade McNamara, you have to play JJ if you want to beat Ohio State, Chris. You do.
Jeez. Here comes the stuff.
I sent a little shade being thrown at a few message board posters there. We love you all. It's okay. Yeah.
It's most of them. Guys. Yeah.
Yeah, most of them. Most of you, 99.9%.
$1, though, only.
$1.
Yeah, you mentioned Anthony Linderbaum. Outstanding football player, you know, has gotten a ton of attention this season. Everyone talks about Iowa. He's the first guy they talk about, and it's unbelievable that that's the case. And what a program, you know, the built in the trenches and all that, that you just start talking about their center when you talk about them. But he really does make things go. At the same time, I think those tackles, looking at some of the numbers on PFF and then watching some of their games, like, those tackles are pretty susceptible. They're not like, you know, you can't go in and just, you know, watch this game and say, oh, Iowa's going to have great offensive line play through and through. Like, they have a great center. Left guard's very good. The tackles are susceptible. Aiden Hutchinson, David Ajabo. I feel like we talk about this as like a key matchup every single week, but it's because Michigan's edge rushers are so good, create so much havoc, as we saw last week. And, you know, other teams, man, just kind of have not been able to figure out how to stop them. It's funny, Chris, listening to Chris Hutchinson on the podcast you did on Wednesday, talking about how these bigger programs are not willing to chip Aiden because, oh, we can handle him and our NFL tackle, that, you know, there's no concerns about the NFL tackles going against Aiden Hutchinson. And then he has a legendary performance where he should have drawn about 6 holding calls. He only got 1, 3 sacks, 4 quarterback hurries, and another tackle for loss. Like, he was just downright dominant. And then we talked about this off air yesterday as well, CB. He could win the Heisman this week. If Bryce Young and Alabama lose to Georgia, you know, and if he doesn't have some great game and a loss, because you got to win, especially if you're a quarterback trying to win the Heisman, and he gets a couple sacks and he draws a holding call, or, I mean, everyone's going to be watching this game because he's gotten so much attention this week. He literally may just go win the Heisman Trophy this weekend. He's 3rd in the odds right now. And, you know, Stroud's a guy ahead of him. He doesn't have a game to play until now in New York.
I say let him return punts and kicks and give him that opportunity too, right? And
not that, but would it shock you if Michigan's up big in this game? If Michigan's up big in this game, would it shock you if they try to get him a touchdown late or something like that?
Yes, it would, because this is not the Jim Harbaugh Bowl, and he has too much respect for Kirk Ferentz to run that circus out there.
Yeah, now, but I would love to see it.
I know you would, young man, but you got a lot to learn. But no, you remember that Stanford Virginia Tech game several years ago when he was doing the line shifts over and over again? I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember it. It makes me sick to my stomach.
2011.
But yeah, and he was toying with him. And the Virginia Tech defensive coordinator, for whatever reason, I can't remember his name. He's pretty damn good, too. He was looking at him like he hated his guts. And he's like, all right. But that's not going to happen. But I'll tell you what can happen. And you're, like you said, if Alabama gets beat and Aiden Hutchinson goes out there, it's, you know what, with Heisman voters, guys, it's a play or two sometimes that makes a difference that they see over and over again. And that play with Aiden Hutchinson calling his shot on the sack when he ran over Fat Boy there on the edge and told him he was coming and then motored him is something that's getting so much play right now that I could see. If he has a big game, he could steal this thing, kind of the way that Charles Woodson did at the end of the year. I don't expect it, but we're just saying he's in the conversation, and his odds keep creeping up, guys, a little bit better. And as far as someone's importance to his team, AB, I can't imagine anybody being more important to his team this year than Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, he is quite literally he is, through sheer force of will, the driving factor in why this team is where it is. He set the tone by coming back. And I know that's the off the field stuff. I don't know how much the Heisman puts into that, but again, there is not a player that has more of a factor on field and off field success in the entire country than him. We haven't really talked much about the role he's played. Not only is he rushing the passer, they're dropping him into coverage. And he was a fingertip away from ending that game Saturday, you know, with a Dikembe Mutombo swat of the football away on fourth down. So he's incredible, and he deserves, if not the Heisman, I mean, he deserves all the praise he's getting for being the potential number one overall pick. I mean, he is, I said this a couple times this week, when you, if you're an NFL team and you're drafting that high, not only are you looking for an all-pro talent, you're looking for an all-pro person too, and someone who's going to be a factor and making sure you're never picking that high again. He's that dude, and I don't know what that means for the Heisman, but you know, you go out and have another killer 2-3 sack performance, force a fumble, make some kind of big play. The case is there. From there, it's the voters, it's a popularity contest, whatever. Yep. We know what our eyeballs see. He is, I think he might be the best football player in the country, period.
I agree. And some of those tackles that he makes, Clayton, from when he's on the other side of the field and, you know, he's unblocked and he's going to the other side in the run game. That's the thing. He holds up at the line of scrimmage. He's so strong. He lost a little weight, and I was a little worried about that. I'll be honest. You know, I was like, okay, how's he going to do in the run game? And I guess that was stupid, you know, because he's as strong as he's ever been. And we've seen him with the whatever exercise that is, with the one hand with the weights and looking like a Greek god out there. That's just absolutely sick how strong he is. But great family, man. I got to tell you, and people need to watch that podcast if they haven't, with Chris Hutchinson and Doug Skeen going back and forth. A couple teammates from the 90s. Chris Hutchinson was a great football player. His son's even better, and just high character people. Hard to believe, man. Number 97. He's leaving here a legend, guys. Am I wrong? Is he up there with maybe a half notch below a Charles Woodson because he won the Heisman? If he wins the Heisman, though, man, then he's right up there. And as far as Michigan legends go, honestly, he's in my top 10.
It's the same deal with Charles Woodson if he wins the Heisman, in my opinion. You know, Charles did it on both sides of the ball. He, you know, was a little more beloved probably. But, I mean, not much with the way, and especially if he does go out with a Big Ten championship, potentially a national championship, then he'd be right there. Hassan Haskins is a Michigan football legend now too, guys, in my book. If you score 5 touchdowns in that game, he's got 18 on the year. He's going to break the record, you know, I assume, for a single season in Michigan history. It just shows you how much that game can really do for you, but outstanding. And you're right about Aiden.
Legend's a strong word. I put him up there with Chris Perry, who won the Doak Walker Award in 2003, even though he's not going to win it, for what he means to this team too. And knock on wood, no fumbles. I mean, as hard as he runs, guys, and the way he holds on to that ball, this guy's something else. And it's pass pro. And I give Mike Hart a lot of credit. The job he's done with the running backs this year, watching Mike Hart play and the patience that these guys are running with now and the job they're doing in pass protection, Mike Hart's due for a little bit of a pay raise.
Oh, pay raise. Give that guy whatever he wants. Because they're going to, I mean, I'm sure we're already hearing whispers, there are going to be schools that come after that guy because he's done such a good job. And he is a rising name. So, yeah, pay that guy whatever he wants. You know, I know a lot of people kind of in the past when Jay Harbaugh was coaching, they said, oh, well, they don't do a very good job of keeping with the hot hand and they're getting too many guys involved. And I think to me, that's the biggest thing this year is that they have ridden the hot hand. I mean, we saw earlier in the year, Blake Corum was for 3 or 4 weeks, everyone's saying, oh my God, is he the best running back in the country? Is he going to win the Heisman? He gets banged up, missed a couple plays here and there, but they've been riding Hassan Haskins more or less the whole year. And like I said, legend is probably a strong word, but he's the best Michigan running back since Mike Hart. I mean, I don't think that's much of a debate. As far as Aiden goes, I mean, yeah, you go out. I guess it depends on what happens next. He's up there easily in terms of guys since Woodson. I mean, Jake Long and Braylon Edwards would be up there, obviously, but he's in that conversation, if not at the top of that list since then. So you go out and have another big performance and this team gets to the playoff. I mean, think about that. If there's a Mount Rushmore of the last 30 years or so, he's got a real strong case for it. And, you know, again, through sheer force of will, he has elevated this team. And, you know, they say you take on the identity of your head coach, but you also take on the identity of your captains and your leadership too. And like I said, maybe not so much legend talk with Hassan Haskins, but Aiden Hutchinson, we're going to look back on this guy in the not too distant future and be like, wow, this was really, really a special football player.
Yeah, I'm putting Hassan Haskins in the legend book, but I mean, it's obviously up for, you know, it's subjective. By the way, you mentioned the staff, AB. They got to raise that assistant pool that went down by almost $2 million this past offseason. They got to raise the salary of their head coach because this is now suddenly, after being an unproven and young staff, is now one of the best in the country. And if you keep that together, I think, you know, you're going to continue to build on this thing. You're already seeing not the immediate 2022 recruiting ramifications, but you're already seeing it in 2023. Guys, what else are you going to be watching Saturday night? You know, obviously, it seems like this defense against the Iowa offense should be able to really limit the Hawkeyes. But man, that's a good Iowa defense as well. So I'm interested to see how Michigan comes back. And, you know, they were creative in that Ohio State game. They kind of threw the kitchen sink, as I think one of you guys said earlier in that game. But you got to come up with another great game plan and follow that up.
Yeah, I was interested in talking to Tom Cakert of Hawkeye Report, and he said this is not a great run-stopping team. And then I look at the stats, and they're top 15 in the country, and he says, you know, compared to past teams, and they're leaky at times. And I'm like, wow, you know, then the standard's pretty high.
It's a high bar, yeah.
It is a high bar, but it is because they play good defense there. Norm Parker, Phil Parker now, you know, going right down the list, those guys play – they have an identity. And when you have an identity like that and you play that kind of football and you can stop the run, if they can stop the run and put it on Cade McNamara a little bit, then this could be one of those low scoring games. Like you said, a rock fight, Anthony, where it goes back and forth. God help us. God help us that it's not like that game, the 12-10 game or whatever it was a few years ago. What was it? 15-13? I don't
know. 10-3. Yeah.
It's no, not that one. That was a different rock fight. The one that they lost in Iowa City in the last second.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, like 13-12 or something.
14-13. Right. Yeah. God, did that suck. But, you know, you get into 14 with like a bunch of safeties and field goals and stuff, too. It wasn't two touchdowns, but and it was awful. And that's the kind of game that you don't want to get into with these guys because they can win that game. Michigan can win that game, too, but you don't want to have to win that way. Do what you're doing. Open up the playbook a little bit. Some of the calls that we saw, there were some third down passes, guys. That people forget that long pass to Roman Wilson was a 3rd-and-2 throw, which is a low percentage throw that drew the pass interference call in the fourth quarter. And, you know, take some of those shots like that, too. No risk, no reward, right? Michigan State found that out against Michigan with a couple of throws like that, and they've been doing it all year. And so mainly, though, do what got you there, right? Ride the horse that got you there. Hassan Haskins is going to have a big game, in my opinion. He's going to have another one of those 4.5 yard per carry, you know, 130-something yard games and set up the 2nd-and-6s or so on and so forth. But it's going to be that kind of game, and it's going to go fast because there's going to be a lot of running. You're going to see some play action. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Iowa try to get the tight ends involved because they always do. But man, I just can't wait, fellas. It seems to this week's gone awfully slow as hard as we've worked. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, when we look at the type of game this could be, I hesitate to make this comparison because it is Michigan State. It is the school up the road, so to speak. But the last time that I was in the Big Ten title game, that was a rock fight too, 16-13. Yep. And it took a 23-play or 22-play drive from MSU at the end of the game, which is insane in its own right to walk out of there with a Big Ten title. So Iowa's been there before, and you know they're hungry to put their name on that trophy too. I could see this being like a, you know, we're in the business of saving our predictions for the content on the site, right? But I could see this being like a 24-13, 24-16 type of game. You know, I don't expect Michigan to blow Iowa out. I think Iowa's too well coached. I think that you know, they've tended to play up in these type of games. And it seems like the last couple of times that Michigan's played Iowa, like you said, the 14-13 game in 2016, which basically, you know, which essentially knocked Michigan onto Indianapolis. And then the 10-3 game in Ann Arbor a couple of years ago, it just seems like it's always like pulling teeth against these guys. But mm-hmm. I just feel like this Michigan team, all things being equal, just has that extra gear to it. And players said this week, like they don't feel like they've played their best 4-quarter football game yet. So I don't know if it comes on Saturday, but it just feels like they've accomplished too much to let this one slip away.
Definitely. Do we want to
save that best game of the year for the save that best game of the year for the championship game?
You're right, and we could be back in Indianapolis in early January, but it is a long way to go. Obviously, two tough games to win before then. Basketball team 4-3 right now with 3 losses coming off of second blowout loss in 10 days. You know, really struggling. Just kind of real quick before we go, I mean, you name it, this team has problems in that area, XYZ. You know, they don't have a point guard right now. They're not defending well. It was an embarrassing defensive display in that second half against North Carolina. I guess quick thoughts on where things stand for basketball. We'll obviously get into more of that once this football season ever ends. I don't know if it ever will, though.
Yeah, let's do 30 seconds each here. Point guard is an issue. Devontae Jones, I don't think, is the answer there, and Frankie Collins isn't ready. And they don't have any shooters. Their big man is not playing like he really wants to be there half the time. I hate to say it, but it looks like it to me, Hunter Dickinson, and he's not playing smart. Juwan Howard has his work cut out for him to get this team to the NCAA tournament, which is something I can't believe I'm saying and wouldn't have said before the year.
Yeah, I mean, I would echo a lot of that. And I think the thing that's most jarring to me is that there just hasn't been a lot of fight in these guys as of late, and which is surprising because they were talking about how they were beating the hell out of each other in training camp with black eyes and busted lips. And hey, maybe you guys should have, instead of beating on each other, maybe you should have worked on ball security a little more and shooting a little bit more, taking care of the basketball. They have real issues, and I'm starting to think it might be a roster construction issue. But if you're going to, if like Chris said, if you're going to get what you have out of Devontae Jones and not get anything out of Hunter Dickinson, whatever it is, like if this is how it's going to look, those freshmen need to play regardless of if they're ready or not. So.
Nope. No doubt. And I think there's no Xavier Simpson alpha dog on this team. Eli Brooks is a great leader, but they're going to need somebody to step up if they want to turn this thing around. That is our show for this week. We ended on a sour note, but a lot of good football stuff to talk about. We are headed to Indy today, and we will be there through the weekend. Tons of content coming. We got a bunch of fun things planned over at thewolverine.com. So check us out for $1 for an entire year. Also, thank you to MeatLeet. Go to meatleet.co/Michigan to connect with Roman Wilson. Other Michigan athletes also on the platform as well. You can chat with them, and we'll see everybody next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.